Glad I'm here today. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. I'm glad that, yeah, God is so good. I'll tell you, He really is. So we have been in our Bibles in John chapter 14 through John chapter 15. And if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn into that vicinity. Before we read that text, we'll be looking at a few others. By way of introduction, we have been in, I'll just go ahead and read the one verse that'll help us to kind of get started. In John chapter 14, you know the context. This is pretty dark time for the disciples. You know, I was just telling one of the brethren that, you know, we think we got it bad. The first century Christians were being slaughtered. And as the disciples were, Jesus squarely told them that he was going away. He was going to be killed. And he was going to go away, that they were going to be left without him. And you can only imagine, you know, that wasn't the plan in their eyes. Their plan was to reign and rule and now. I was thinking about the parallels of our political situation. There's a lot of people that are thinking, this is not supposed to happen. Well, think of the disciples. They walked with the Lord Jesus Christ 3 years. He personally discipled them. And then he says, it's time for me to leave. And I'm glad that that wasn't the end of it. You see in John 14, let's just look at verse 1. It says, let not your heart be troubled. You know, that right there can sum up the context of what was going on with the the exchange between Jesus and his disciples. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Hey, I'm telling you, as believers, we ought to thank the Lord that this is not our home. You know, we have not moved all our chips in. All right? If you have, if you are so consumed or with the political environment and what's going on that you don't know if you're even going to make it, I'm telling you, you need to move all your chips into heaven. Amen? And need to remember that the Lord knows what's going on. God isn't in heaven wringing his hands about the political scene or the political situation in the United States of America in 2021. God's in control. But I think that a Christian could identify with the disciples during this time. You could say, and you could identify that, man, this isn't good. You know. But the Lord didn't leave them there. He said, don't let your heart be troubled. If you believe in me, I go to prepare a place for you. Heaven's my home. And if I do it, I'm going to come back and get you. Then he says, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. He goes on in John 14. He says that he's going to give you the comforter in verse 16. He says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Not only am I going to be with you guys, you 11, I'm going to be with every person that has accepted me as their Savior. I'm going to be with all believers everywhere, world without end. Amen. Always. Isn't that what he said in Matthew chapter 28? Here's our marching orders today. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, this is at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, and we call it the Great Commission, amen, not the Great Omission. And Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am. That means that he is God of heaven, Jehovah Jireh, not only Jehovah Jireh, but when he says I am, that's capital L-O-R-D, Jehovah, amen. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, amen. You know, the Great Commission didn't change because we have entered into this political environment. It didn't. I mean, I know you say, well, I don't feel like witnessing, amen? Well, I don't either, but I'm going to do it, amen? I'm going to give somebody a track. I'm going to tell them how they can know Christ as their Savior. I'm going to still try to encourage Christians that are down and out, amen? I'm going to still go to the lost. Just this last week, I was telling a woman how she could be saved, amen? I'm going to keep doing it because God commands me to do it. And actually, it helps, amen? It helps me. It keeps me. I'm not watching the news when I do that, amen?
Amen.
You know? So, I really prayed about what to do starting the first year. And we're going to get back to the book of Ecclesiastes, I promise. But I really looked at what to do. And you'll remember that we started the series off and with the statement that this could be the greatest year of your life. And so the last messages we were preaching on were the last two Sundays were on the peace of God. Because you see in John chapter 14, you'll see in verse 27, it says, peace I leave with you, and my peace I give unto you. And this is what I love about this verse. Not as the world giveth. Listen, if you're looking for peace because of your affiliation with the political party, you're not going to find it, amen? Because that's worldly peace. Jesus said, the peace I give you, give unto you, not as the world giveth, I giveth unto you, and let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The peace of God that passes all understanding. And we were looking at this, and I guess the title I was using, and we're probably going to change that this morning, is the source of peace and the source of joy and the source of security is really rooted and grounded in our union with Christ in John 15 and 5. I am the vine, you are the branch. If a man abideth in me and I in him, he'll bring forth much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So our union with Christ is paramount if we're going to have peace, joy, and security. Say amen to that. So I was, you know, teaching and preaching on peace the last couple of weeks, and then we have came into verse 28 where it's time to preach on joy. So if someone would like to come up and take my place today, that'd just be wonderful. Amen. If you have a more joyous message than I do, but I'm glad that this isn't my message, it's the Lord's message. Amen. And if you think about it, the only way you're going to, when you have peace, you can have joy. So I changed the series title from the source of peace, joy, and security and union with Christ to how to live in a dark world.
That's a little better.
Yeah, well, how to live in a dark world is to have peace, amen? Have joy, have security, and have the foundation of a union with Christ. So I just did a little tiny search on the word dark, you know, how to live in a dark world. You know, dark, the word dark is simply the absence of light. Dark also describes something that is depressing or evil. The word dark has several other senses and objectives and nouns and verbs. If something is dark, it means that it has no light or has very small amounts of light. In a sense, dark also refers, or like I started with, the absence of light. I want you to think about something today that the Bible says that we as believers are to be light in a dark world. Did not Jesus say it in Matthew chapter 5? He says, no man lights a candle and puts it under a bushel or whatever. No. Some of you might have lost power, and that's the only light you had was the candle. Amen?
Amen.
But you didn't light that candle and put it in the closet, did you? No, man, you put it on the table, amen. Light another one, amen. And that's what we are to be in this dark world. Amen. So how are we to live in this dark world? Well, we need to be lights. Hey, we're the only hope, amen. I had this verse, okay, it's Matthew 5:16. I just made reference to. Let me read it. It says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's what Jesus said. Mm-hmm. I like what the Word of God says in Philippians chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. It says that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. That kind of sum up our nation, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Right? So if our nation is crooked and perverse and rotten to the core, does that mean that we just say, well, forget it, man. Lock and load, you know? I'm not saying there might come a time when you lock and load, but that doesn't mean that we quit being believers. He says that you be blameless, harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Chuck quoted his life verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, right? For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I think I've missed some of that, and maybe I should memorize his life's verse. Amen. But what am I trying to say? I'm trying to say, listen, if we're going to live in a dark world, I had another title. I'll share that with you. How to Live in the Midst of Tribulation. You say, hey, brother, we're not in the tribulation. We're not in the tribulation, but we are living in tribulation. There is an address for that too. It would be in John. Let me see if I can find it here. In John chapter, I believe, John 16, verse 33. Jesus said, these things I have spoken unto you that in me you might have peace. Whoa, hold it. Think about that for a minute. Jesus told them, he says, that you might have peace. So we know that we can live in this world and not have peace. But he says that you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Time out. Ye shall have it. Guaranteed. But be of good cheer. Amen. That'll go with our joy today. Amen. I have overcome the world. Jesus. Hey, listen. The last line in this story has already been written. Amen. The war is over. It was won on Calvary 2,000 years ago. We are just in the midst of a battle. You know, I talked to a preacher this week, and he says, you know, brother, in my life, he's pastored a lot longer than me. He says, you know what? I always thought, you know, the Christian in America has never seen real persecution. Now we might. Now we might. Amen. So we are supposed to be, as believers, we are supposed to have joy, not only peace, but we are to have joy in this time. Last week, just to finish up the recap, I want us to see that last week we see that we secure peace by being justified. By being justified. In Romans 5:1, it says, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then we've seen that we secure peace by loving God's word. Amen. I'll tell you, I don't know if I've ever been in the Word as much as I've been in the Word. Amen.
Amen.
Lately, amen. I mean, I have a habit of reading the Bible through every year, but I'm telling you, I've did more than my daily Bible reading. Amen.
Amen.
I've been digging. Amen. I've been saying, Lord, help me. Amen. Encourage me in this dark time. And I'm telling you how to live in a dark world, how to secure peace, get in the book. Amen.
Amen.
And that might mean shutting the television off or stop looking at the news feed. Amen. I think sometimes I do try to stay in the loop. I look at the news feed and sometimes I get anxious. I wonder, man, what's going to be next? You know what I mean? But I'm telling you, God has helped me. Amen. And it's by loving his word. Psalms 119, 165 says, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Can you, I mean, I'm talking about being in the Word. In Psalms 1, it says that we should meditate upon the Word. In Joshua 1, it says that we should meditate upon the Word. And I'm telling you, as this verse says, we can be in the Word and we could have peace in the midst of a dark world and tribulation. Mm-hmm. Then we see that by praying about everything, we can secure peace. That's a good, you know, I like the way the word just lays it out, you know. You can have peace by getting in the word and then praying. Amen? Or praying and getting in the word. But I always found it's better for me to get in the word and then pray. Amen? Let God speak to me. Amen? Kind of straighten me out a little bit, and then I can pray for others.
Amen.
Mercy. Amen? You'll see. It says in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, it says, be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then we see by being spiritually minded, not being carnally minded. Amen. Romans 8:6 says that for to be carnally minded is death, but be spiritually minded is life and peace. Set your affections, as Colossians says in Colossians 3, set your affections on the things of the above, not on the things of this earth. Help you. Amen. Then also we see that we secure peace by keeping our mind on God. Amen. The Bible says in Isaiah 26:3, but thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. That's a good place to run. Amen.
Right.
And then also, I think it was lastly, we looked at last week, we secure peace by keeping God's commandments. By keeping his commandments. Isaiah 48:18 says, oh, that thou hast hearkened to my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. I'd like you to go back to John chapter 14, please. John chapter 14, please. I want to look in the Word of God again at these verses. Before we do that, let's go ahead and have some prayer. Father, thank you so much for your word and for your people. They're such a blessing. I just pray for this next few moments, Lord, that we would have your blessing upon the preaching of your word. Lord, meet with us as only you can. In your name, Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. So we see here in John chapter 14, verse 28 says, you have heard that I said unto you, I go away, and I come again unto you. But if you love me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto my Father, for my Father is greater than I. I want you to jump over to John chapter 15, verse 11. It says, these things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Man, I hate that he used the word might. But you know why he used the word might? Because Jesus knew that there were going to be believers that no matter what they did, they were not going to have his joy.
Right. Amen.
We got to get out of there. We got to break out of that, right? And I don't want to might have his joy. I want to have his joy. You know, I want to be a joyful Christian. Amen. I'm trying to find another verse here. Let me see if I got it here. It says in another chapter over in John 16, verse 24, Jesus says, "Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." Hey, if you struggle with it, ask the Lord for it. Amen. Say, "Lord, help me." Amen. Help me do it. Amen. Help me have the joy. I need joy. Amen. I kept thinking about this song when I was preparing this. That joy, joy, joy down in my heart.
Where?
Yeah. He can break out. Amen. Right? Yeah. That's right. Let's look at the word joy just for a minute. The word joy in the Greek is chara, at C-H-A-R-A, and it means simply a inner gladness, a deep-seated pleasure. It is the depth of assurance and confidence that ignites a cheerful heart. It is a cheerful heart that leads to cheerful behavior. You know, you can just see it on people, can't you? You say, man, they're just happy. Amen. They're just happy. You know, Psalms 1, it says, "Blessed is a man." The word blessed means happy. And incidentally, my little grandson right there, his name's Asher. In the Hebrew, his word means blessed or happy. You know, my daughter really named him right. Amen. Because he is, most of the time, a very happy child. See, he's saying amen. But it was times that he wants to get his way, that, you know. But by and large, every time, he's always smiling. Ain't that right, Asher? Huh? Yeah, look at that smile, right? You know, he doesn't have a care in the world.
No, not one.
Huh? He doesn't even know who's going to be the next president. And he doesn't care, amen?
Probably wouldn't be so happy.
All he cares about is that his needs be met. When he's hungry, he gets fed, amen? When he's tired, he gets laid down, amen? Because he knows that his Nana and Papa, his grandma and grandpa, and he knows that his father and mother are going to take care of all his needs. You know, Jesus said a lot about that, didn't he? I mean, I think it's Luke 12, you know, birds of the air, you know.
Yeah.
They don't worry about it. But God feeds them, amen. Talks a lot about a sparrow, the most helpless bird that there is. Sparrow doesn't worry about when his next meal is going to come. And Jesus says, "How much more are you than the birds of the air? I'll take care of you." Hey, listen, let me just tell you today, God's going to take care of you.
Amen.
He's going to take care of this country. I don't know. I'm not a prophet, nor was I a prophet's son. I don't know what's going to happen, but I know what's going to happen to me when I die. Amen. I'm going to be with Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
And that brings me joy. Amen.
Amen.
That brings me inner gladness. The word goes on to say it's a deep-seated pleasure. It's the depth and of assurance and confidence that ignites a cheerful heart. It is a cheerful heart that leads to cheerful behavior. And I want to be honest with you. You know, when this all started coming together, I'd have probably skipped the whole series if I knew that I would have had to preach on joy. Amen?
Yeah.
But I'm said, praise the Lord, you know? God says, you need to, amen. You need to have joy, amen. Because, see, if you have peace, you'll have joy. There's a big connection with that. So how to live in a dark world? I want to share a couple other scriptures with you, and then we'll look at several things that need to be said about the believer's joy. But in James chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ to the 12 tribes, which were scattered abroad, greetings. Now look at verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. That means multicolored, multifaceted. Man, you think, man, some of the trials I go through, I'll tell you what, if I'd have known about it, I'd have tapped out a long time ago. He says this, he says in verse 3, he says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. You know what the Lord wants? He wants strong Christians that can weather the storm. That when weak Christians or unbelievers come to them, they can strengthen them. No, it's going to be all right. God's in control. Amen. But let patience, and the word patience, as you know, is endurance, have her perfect work, that you may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. I like what verse 5 says, and that's why I put it down. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and unbridleth not, and it shall be given to him. You know, we need to be wise Christians. Ask God. Now, Peter says it a little different from James, but in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 19, Peter says, Beloved, thinketh not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you as some strange thing happen unto you. Let me stop there for a moment. Peter says this, we shouldn't have this attitude like I had no idea that this was ever going to happen. Or why is this happening to me? No, Peter is saying, look, this shouldn't be a mystery, amen? If you know your Bible, we know that as Christians, we are going to be persecuted. I have the address. I'll share some of the verses if we have time today. It shouldn't be strange. It shouldn't be something that we should say of this week or last week or these last 3 years or even the prospects of the future that we should say, wow, man, I had no idea. You know, listen, you better buckle up. This isn't strange. This shouldn't be odd. This shouldn't be something that you're not prepared for. He says, hey, beloved, think it not strange concerning, listen to this. He uses the word fiery trial. Mm-hmm. Why? Because there's Christians in that day being burned to death for the name of Jesus Christ. They're being slaughtered as in their arenas as entertainment. Read Romans 8. He says, thinking not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you as some, though some strange thing has happened unto you. Man, look at the next two words. But rejoice. Hallelujah. you see where this is going, you know? It's just like Paul and Silas when they were beaten and they were dragged through the streets, thrown in prison. Listen, they were thrown in jail. Brother Steve, they were thrown under the jail to the innermost parts, locked up in chains. And old Paul and Silas just said, man, this ain't going to work out. Man, this is a bummer. Man, all this is falling apart, man. This wasn't supposed to happen. Right. Paul didn't say that. He said, things, hey, listen, this isn't a stumbling block. This is a stepping stone, amen? Things aren't falling apart. They're falling into place. So Paul and Silas rejoiced, amen? They sang praises unto God. Amen. Why? Because they knew the Bible. They had a relationship with Jesus. They knew that though these men could kill them, they knew where they were going. Right. And they were going to stand for Christ, like many other Christians down through the centuries. And they were able to rejoice in it. And then the shaking started happening. Mercy, huh? And the chains fell off. Right. Hallelujah. And hey, glory to God. And the gates opened of the prison. Amen. And the jailer said, man, I don't know what's going on, but these guys can walk out on me. And he was going to kill himself. Paul said, hey, hang on, friend. Let me tell you about the one who just did this. And the Philippian jailer got saved. Glory to God. Huh? And historians say that that church in Philippi that Paul wrote to later and visited on his missionary trips was started in the jailer's house. Listen, God could do the greatest work right now. But he ain't going to do it if we're thinking the world is coming to an end. It's all falling apart. Maybe, I don't know how this is going to work out, but maybe it's falling into place.
Exactly.
I'll tell you one good thing about the last 4 years. A lot of people that have been hiding in the dark are drug out into the light.
Amen.
Glory to God. Amen. We got to quit being political junkies and be Bible junkies. Amen.
That's good.
Boy, I got tuned up on that. Amen. I remember, I think it was in 2020 that a preacher stood up and says, man, I just can't watch the news anymore. And it really made me reflect. So I, bit by bit, I've been trying. Amen. I want to rejoice. Amen. Look at what he goes on in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 13. He says, but rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers in Christ's sufferings, mercy, that when he, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. So we see here the first connection in our text of suffering connected with joy. It's the way it's always been. You know, think about it. We sing songs about the crucifixion. Amen. But it's true. Without death, there is no life. If you be reproached in verse 14 of 1 Peter 4, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. Amen. Huh? Somebody referred to this church a couple weeks ago to my daughter, which we were working down here and trying to get rid of some stuff. And she goes, well, I should have known it was at a blankety blank church. And Abby goes, oh, that just makes me so mad. I said, nah, it's just the way it is. Amen. Glory. Amen. So when someone cuts you off in traffic, you know, people are so high strung, you know. No, hey, I have never sensed it. I mean, going into doing business, you know, because of the COVID and all that, into the stores and on the road, people are so anxious, they're so uptight. Man, they'll just run you right off the road. So instead of swerving back into them, amen, or hitting your gas or hitting the brakes, say glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Happy, happy. Look at this. Listen to this. For the Spirit of glory and God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer, as a busybody in other men's matter. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, I got to stop. Listen, stand for Christ, for truth, for right, against wrong. Always stand for right. Suffer for the right things. Amen. If any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. Verse 17, for the time is come. Listen to this, church. The time has come that just judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begins at us, what shall be the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit their keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. Friends, I'm telling you, lost people are going to go into eternity and they're going to die and they're going to go to a devil's hell and burn forever. We shouldn't rejoice in that. Amen? And you wonder, you say, man, this isn't fair. No one ever said it was going to be fair. I don't know if I don't have a verse that says it's going to be fair. But I do have a bunch of verses that say it's going to be worth it.
Amen.
Amen. And he says the judgment is going to first start at the house of God. I said it. When I started pastoring in 1995, pastored a little church for a year, then I pastored Solid Rock for almost 6 years after that. And in that time, we thought it was so dark. Okay? I'm telling you that we thought the political scene and just the whole mess, I thought, and I said this, and I'll reiterate it now. Someday they're going to lock up a guy like me and other preachers like me for preaching the Bible. Time will come. I believe, boy, we're pretty close to that now. Amen? But see, judgment must start at the house of God. Amen? That was just the introduction. You say, are you serious? Yeah, I need a long runway for this message. We're not even going to get into it. Amen? But I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. This whole thing could burn down next week. I want to encourage you to not lose the joy of the Lord. The Bible says, Nehemiah in the Bible says, the joy of the Lord is our strength.
Amen.
Listen, they can never take that from you. Amen? They can never take it. You know, they can never take the peace from you. Only if you let them. I think it's Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Don't let this world rob you of your joy. I'll close with the text again. In John chapter 14, verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away, and I come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. John chapter 15, verse 11. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Father, we thank you so much that, Lord, you can supernaturally, miraculously save our souls from a devil's hell. Lord, that you can pluck us up out of the mire, as the psalmist said, out of a pit, and you could set us upon a rock, and you could establish our goings. Lord, it's like Peter said that you've called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. Save us. Redeem us. And all we have to do is repent of our sins and turn our lives totally over to you, Lord Jesus. And after that, you establish us and you allow us to be a witness for you and to live in this dark world as lights, a reflection of you, Lord Jesus, to others. So, Lord, I pray for this week. I pray for our country. I pray for our president, if an outgoing president. I pray for the incoming president. I pray for every leader from the national level down to the local level. And, Lord, I pray that you would just be with our church and our people here. Pray that you'd be with the state of Idaho. Oh, God, I beg and plead that you'd be with the United States of America as a whole. But, Lord, I pray as individuals today, Lord, that we would let nothing, not only, Lord, we know if we're saved that you say that nothing shall separate us from the love of Christ. Lord, we'll be saved and no one can separate your love for us. As you told the disciples in John, here in John chapter 14, that we don't have to let our heart be troubled, that you're going to save us. And not only that you save us, but you're coming back to get us. And not only when you leave that you're given the Holy Spirit here, the Comforter, a Paraclete, the one to come alongside us to help us through this mess. So, Lord, we thank you and praise you for that. So, Lord, give us peace. Well, Give us love, joy, and peace. And Lord, help us. Lord, I pray this morning, if there's anyone here that's not saved, that today would be the greatest decision they'll ever make, that they'll trust Christ as their Savior. And Lord, for the rest of us, Lord, help us. Fill us, guide us, direct us. Help us to do what you want us to do. Help us to go where you want us to go. Help us to say what you want us to say. And Lord, we love you. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. I want to open up the altars with every head bowed and every eye closed and no one looking around. I want to open up the altars for you today. You just might want to come and just pray. You might have something real heavy on your heart. You just need to pray. So as the music plays, you come. You might want to come and pray for our nation. You might want to come and pray for your neighbor. You might just need to come and pray for yourself. You come. You come now as the music plays. Go on, brother.